All right. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, I think that's an old Ringling Brothers thing. They're now defunct, but we're not. This is The Last Knock with your host, Billy Crash. Johnny Numb is on hiatus, probably taking his cat to a spa right now or something like that. But tonight we have two awesome guests. I know I always say very special guests, but they are. They're friends. I love them. And you're going to know who they are in a second because they did a wonderful movie about 5 years ago called Crawl or Die. And that was written, directed, and edited by the great Oklahoma Ward and starring the lovely, truly lovely, and vivacious Nikki Alonso. And they're with us tonight to talk about, well, I'll let them do that. All right, guys, how are you?
Hello.
Great. We're doing
Good.
really good. Doing really good.
Awesome.
It's nice to talk to you again.
Are you kidding? Welcome back. Come back anytime. Look, we didn't do anything yet, and you already have an invite to another show. That's awesome.
Sweet. You're making it too easy for us, you know?
Well, I loved Crawl or Die, and I wrote about it. We talked about it. I was watching this film, and if you hadn't seen it, everybody, Crawl or Die is a wonderful sci-fi horror that almost put me into a panic attack, and I think that is true horror, and I'm not kidding. Watching poor Nikki struggle as Tank in the film. So why do you want to do this again, Nikki? Why do you want to? You're doing a sequel, right?
I don't know. I guess I just have a glutton for punishment or something. I don't know. But no, I actually am really excited. And I'm hoping, because as I don't know much, because Oklahoma is very secretive with the script and with the story to even me, even though we're very close and everything. But I'm hoping it's even worse, honestly. I'm hoping he's like steps it up another notch and just goes like, how much can she take before she taps out? Because
Well, I have
I'm
to,
ready. Yeah,
because
I'm ready.
a crazy, for the people that haven't seen it, I mean, I really tried to zone in on the claustrophobic feel. And ironically,
Oh,
over
you've
the
got
last
that.
5 years since the movie came out, and believe me, there's no way I'm saying that these people watched the movie, but it is a crazy thing in the world how when something comes out, all of a sudden you start seeing these type of scenes, and I've noticed it over the past 5 years, and like The Walking Dead and that movie, actually the movie named Crawl that came out, and numerous other
Ugh.
TV shows where I'm seeing a lot of, like, what was the one that we just watched? It was even the one where they were underwater with Kristen Stewart,
Oh
and
yeah,
Forty
they all have
Seven
these
Meters
deep.
Down or something?
Yeah.
No, it's a new one. It was, I think it might still be in theaters, or it was, but I forget what it was called right
Oh,
now.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Underwater, maybe.
Underwater.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I
I
think
think it's
that's what
what
it
it's
was
called.
called.
But
That
what's
simple.
crazy now is I'm noticing all the time people using a flashlight in these really, really tight corridors or tunnels or, and
The Walking Dead even had the ones that we had that wind.
yeah,
Yeah,
we
yeah.
had flashlights that
Yeah.
wound, and they even had that. And the funny thing is, we don't even notice it sometimes, but our fans on Twitter have been reaching out to us when all of these come out, and they're like, "Oh, this reminds me of your movie Crawl or Die and stuff like that." So, yeah, to make us feel good on a bad day, we just imagine that those people saw our movie and
Right.
went, "We got to do this with a higher production budget and see what we can do." But in truth, no, we do have to step our game up, and that's one of the things that really energized me about doing this project and carrying this project further is because I think I can even do it better than what has been coming out after us. And so that kind of challenges me and makes me excited because
When he says that, I hear, all right, strap in because you're about to be put through some hell.
yeah, because I had
Yeah.
always had ideas of stuff that I wanted to take further, but the first time we had 3 weeks to film it, and we had $5,000, and so we had to do everything within that time period. So of course you can't do things that you wanted to do, but I
Of
always
course.
knew that there was a lot more of the script that was left on the table, and the story was actually the first part of a three part that I had done, and so I was like, you know what, let's just tackle it and take it further and see where the story goes, because I think the character Tank, while I can be very proud of everything I did on my end, and I think you can be proud of the music that you wrote and all that kind of
Oh,
stuff.
that was awesome.
The
Fucking awesome.
thing that all the fans still to this day, from even Japan, like Sasuke still writes us, or is the character Tank, you know. And I think it's because I kind of modeled her, you know, the anti-hero, the one that thinks maybe she doesn't win the game at the end, maybe she never really ever achieves what she's trying to achieve, but she never quits. And I think that kind of touches a lot of people and is like, okay, maybe I can lose, maybe
makes,
I lose this job
her, like,
or lose this, but I can keep going.
Too. Like, yeah. They don't feel like she's some unattainable superhero or something. She's like she's a person, and she struggles and she fails. And I think it makes her more relatable. I think that might be why people have connected with her so much.
I agree. Would you like to give us a little background of Crawl or Die? So people know, so they're in a heated frenzy after this interview, to, if they hadn't seen the movie, to go back and get it.
Sure. I mean, it's a movie that I shot independently, but I treated and shot it just as if I had a budget. And I think that was a mindset that I went into it. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted practical effects, and I wanted the horror to not be about, well, you see the blood and you see the creature and all that. The horror was you knowing it's behind you, you hear it, and you keep pushing forward and being caught in situations that there may not be a way out of. Mm-hmm. And but do you keep going or not? It's probably some sort of psychological thing about being an artist or having a dream, and my belief that you always just keep trying no matter how many times you fail, that it's not the end result, it's the journey that you have to beat yourself up and make yourself believe that that is what should make you happy. And so you know, so I wrote the movie. From the first 1 minute of the movie, you're smack dab right in the middle of the action. And I really don't believe in backstories and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I don't mind seeing them in other movies.
Good.
Because I believe that...
You were not going to learn about, like, Tank's grandma's puppy growing up or anything?
No, but I believe, just like most people, you learn about them through their actions and what they're doing at the time or in the moment of crisis. And that alone should be the backstory on whether you like the person or not, or whether you care for them. And so that's kind of how I did the movie.
Because I feel, too, that people aren't, you know, no matter what's happened to you in your past, that doesn't necessarily have to define who you are or what you've become in the future or what you can become. I mean, everybody goes through different things, and I think it's tired and kind of boring to do the whole, like, well, she's tough because she was abused or something. It's like, nah, like, it doesn't have to be that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think it's more interesting that it's more of a mystery, in my opinion.
But I think basically, to sum it all up really quickly, I mean, think of it as a mousetrap, like that old board game.
Yeah,
mousetrap.
Yeah. Oh, I
mean,
God, I remember.
I love that game.
They're stuck in a situation underground in real tunnels that we built. And the tunnels get small. I think the smallest tunnel was down to 14 inches, 12 or 14 inches.
Yeah, it was tiny.
Dude, that was so scary, man.
Yeah, very claustrophobic. And the whole movie is that, on something that is chasing them. They're obviously not going to make it, or do they? But it's a journey. But I think it's quick-paced, and I think it moves fast, and it achieves exactly what we wanted. And
it did. I was gripping my chest, man, when I'm watching it. And I'm like, oh, this is really working. Like, and I'm watching it going, what he did to Nikki, that bastard. You know, it's just like...
I was called that many times. Believe me.
He was.
But,
I can't lie about that.
But, you know, you forget. You forget. When you make a film or you make a movie and you put it out there and you have the initial rush of doing all the promotion and everything you can to get picked up, which we did. We're still being shown in the UK every single month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were in Switzerland. We were in China. We were in the U.S. on, like, DirecTV and all that. And it was amazing for a $5,000 independent film that we shot out here in our backyard in the state of Oklahoma.
Yeah.
But you forget that. You know, when you're thinking about the next project and everything. And as we started getting back into this, I started reading all the old reviews. We had over 100 reviews. we started looking through all the fan mail and stuff that we got, and I forgot how much some people really absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
And which always makes you feel good. Made me smile.
Good. It should.
You know, all you see as a filmmaker is everything you should have done, everything you could have done. It's kind of hard to enjoy it. But I think back on it now, and I smile pretty big. I'm really happy with it.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Good. Well, you both should be proud. You really should. Because I didn't know the budget until right now.
Oh.
I can't believe you did that for $5,000 friggin' dollars.
We did it for $5,000, and then we had to learn about distributors. Our U.S. distributor. See, originally we never even saw the monster, and then when we sold it to the U.S. distributor, they basically said, if you don't put a monster in it for at least 5 minutes, we're going to shelve the movie. And I said, okay, well, what do we have? And they said, we'll give you, I think they gave us 10,000.
We were wanting to take it to Cannes or one of the film markets, and it was like a week away.
Yeah.
Like a
so
week.
They said, I think Shit. They gave us $10,000 and 4 or 5 days to create the monster, film it, re-edit the whole movie with the monster in the movie and correct the sound, because we did the sound and everything.
Yeah, it was like it was a completely finished film. So.
And so us crazy kids did it.
Yeah.
Damn, holy
That was
mother.
An insane week for sure.
Yeah.
Not a lot of sleep happened.
So we filmed our movie that we submitted for $5,000, which when we do this, I'm going to put out the director's cut, which is the original that we did to where you never really saw the monster.
Ooh.
And
I can't wait for
and
that.
And then the U.S. distributor put 10,000 in it. So, you know, somebody could argue that it was 15,000 for what they saw, but 5,000 is what we had a complete finished movie on, and what we had two or three U.S. distributors kind of bidding for. And then, and I say this about the U.S. distributor putting them down, and we did hit heads and everything, but I will give them a ton of credit. They knew their business. They actually went out there and they sold it to multiple territories, got us a tremendous U.S. deal, got us on DirecTV and all that kind of stuff. So they did good. Mm-hmm. You know, they did good.
Excellent.
Just I think he probably, you know, doesn't like me that well, and I actually kind of like him.
Hey, that's show business. You don't have to like each other. You can just work together.
I actually kind of liked him. I mean, everybody else was like, he's an ass, and I'm like, I kind of like that. I was like, he and I would go at it. And
I don't think it was mutual, babe.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either. But, anyway, but I don't know. I kind of liked him. I was like, I'd go into business with him again or sit down and have a beer with him. But, yeah, anyway, that's just me. So, anyway, so we'd always knew we were going to do this, and we started we had multiple offers. In fact, you know, I think one of the things that we lost a lot of friends over, and we can prove this, we got one offer of over $10 million budget to do the sequel. And, you know, people flipped out when we turned it down. But what they don't understand is we were going to get paid about a less than $100,000 over 2 years. And there was going to be 13 producers on the movie that all got over $600,000 paid up front. So all of a sudden that $13 million budget, over three quarters of it is not going towards the movie. And mm-hmm. then when we heard the ideas for it, it was just going to be this CGI. I figure like a Sci-Fi Channel thing, and that's not putting the Sci-Fi Channel down at all. I would do a project with them, but it's not what we wanted to do.
Right, right.
We turned it down. We turned down Mr. Dairy Queen guy, and we turned down, we actually had an interview with Ridley Scott, some associates, and actually we just ended up not getting the deal that we were wanting, and we turned everything down and said, you know what, we're gonna flip homes and save up our money and do it ourselves. Yeah. We got about halfway there, and then a really badass cool person here in Tulsa stepped up, who I guess has more belief in us than we thought anybody in the state of Oklahoma would. You know, it's kind of funny. I know that Oklahoma people who are creative or live in another state may go, they're oil workers and all that kind of stuff. But there's actually a lot of creative people here, and a lot of people with that are very open-minded and stepped up and was like, "Well, I'll help you out." And so we actually are going to be starting this coming Saturday, filming some of the creature that we've been working on so much.
I
ecstatic.
That's fantastic. I didn't realize it was happening this quickly. I mean,
Me either.
I feel good about life right now. I mean, I really do. This is something I needed to hear. This is awesome.
Yeah, it's a believe me, there were some dark times.
Yeah.
Once 2, 3, 4 years passes and you're like, we're ne it's gonna be another 3 years before we can save up enough money to do it, you begin to think, well, are we just construction workers?
Yeah.
And what am is this what I'm supposed to be doing? And you have bills and all
Knee-deep
that.
in self-leveler, like, what are we doing with our lives? But
Oh
I will
man.
say this to
I think it
anybody
was
out there
worth it,
trying
honestly.
something, and the craziest thing is, the only reason that this opportunity came around is because we kept trying. So while I would never tell anybody that you're guaranteed that it will happen by trying, I would say I can guarantee you it won't happen if you don't keep trying.
Right,
That's
right, right.
that is an
We channeled
absolute
Tank. We just kept going and pushing forward and
channeled tank. That's it. That's the real reason you want to do this next. Because I know you love the character Tank. People
Oh my
ask about it
God,
all the
yeah.
time.
I mean, yeah, she's the best. She's my idol. Are you kidding? Like, I would kill to be her. She's amazing. I
Yeah,
love
she's
Tank.
all Jersey girl. That's what I like.
She's got attitude and sass, but she's also very compassionate, and I just love her. I don't know. I'm happy that we're gonna get to show more of who she is and where she's at after everything that happened to her and everything, so.
I'll give you an example. One of the things that inspires me to do the project that we're doing is this. I have a very good friend who's very honest with me, and that was Peter Broderick, who helped us distribute the first movie. And I sat down with him about a year after it was out, and I said, Peter, what was your give me your 1,000% critique of something bad that you didn't like about the movie. And he said, well, I'll tell you right up front. He said, I thought the minute I saw it. He was like, I hate it that as creative as you are, you still fell into the trope of course, the scientist guy was the nerdy guy, and the big guy was the tough guy. And that infuriated me because it was right. Because that's not how I think about things.
Yeah.
Because one of the smartest scholastic scientific type person I know is a bodybuilder, and it's so funny, and he was correct on that. So I have combed, and I am going against every archetype that there
Awesome.
is,
Awesome.
because it is ridiculous how even I fell right into that. It's just because you go, well, yeah, of course he would wear th like I wear thick black
Well,
glasses, and I'm not a scientist, but
in my opinion, I think the reason you did, I don't think that you did it to be like the same as everyone else or anything. I think that it would make sense in a situation like that the people that are going to be more calm or appear more brave would be soldiers that have training to handle crazy situations, whereas you drop someone like a scientist who spends his life in a lab. I'm not saying every person, some people freak
sure,
out and
sure.
it's unexpected,
But
but I think that's why it's.
I'll give you a perfect example. One of the and I knew better than to do that. I should and I'm not going to on this one because it is a conscious effort. I think it's so ingrained in us sometimes we just fall into it really easily. But I'll give you a perfect example. Brad Pitt's character in Snatch, where he was one of the toughest guys out there, but he is skinny as a rail, and he's
Yeah.
fighting these big, huge guys. But I went, oh yeah, that's perfect, because I know sometimes the scariest guy in the room can be the guy standing over in the corner that's 100 pounds, because that guy will go crazy on you.
Yeah,
And I
he'll
went,
bite your ear off or some shit.
right. And I went, why? I think with everything that was going on, that subconsciously I just fell right into that, and I was
Yeah.
like, I refuse. So I guess that is a little something that people can look forward to, is that I guarantee you,
But what's
people
funny
will
is
not be
you
what
like.
who you think they're going to be, and people that you think are not strong end up being strong,
Yeah.
and some of the people that you don't think are going to be the hero end up being the hero, as I think real life usually is.
Yeah.
So I am excited about that. That
That's
was a little
true.
something I learned.
Like, if you've ever been in a scary situation or something happens, you learn really quickly who's the one that's going to stay there and have your back, and who's the one that
Yeah.
chickens out and runs off, and a lot of the times you'd be surprised
Right.
who's who.
Right. That's
It might not
true.
always be think.
Anyway.
Anyway, Nikki, how'd you prepare for this role? Especially when it's interesting because you're happy that there's no backstory, this and that. So you had to create a backstory to become this character. So, tanks,
Well, that's
so.
part of the thing. Okay, so I feel like I had a leg up only because I played her before, so I kind of got a really good idea back then from working with him and the script and the story and the backstory I was given at that time. So I already had like a starting place that I feel confident about. And other than that, I've just tried to just mentally prepare as far as going be open to anything. I made an agreement with him because on the last set, there was a few times that I questioned some things and I shouldn't have. And I would like say, "Are you sure you want me to do that?" and stuff like that. And there's some things that I was like, "I can't do that. That'd be embarrassing or whatever." And I promised him and I promised myself I'm not going to do that on this set. If he tells me to pick my nose, I'm going to pick my nose. Like, whatever he says is what's going to happen. And other than that, it's just physically preparing and mentally preparing and staying o very open. And I also am the type of creative person that once I start something, I get very into it and very intense. So I've tried to not think about it too much. Otherwise, I get migraines and I get anxiety because I just
Oh,
can't.
man.
It's like a if you rev up an engine, I'll get burnt out, like, because I just can't wait. So once we start
Gotcha.
filming, I know that's all going to kick in.
That's how she was on our first date. She saw me and like the engine was
Oh
just
yeah,
like it was pretty, so
it was like smoking, you
just
know.
putting it up.
And he was like, "Get away from me with those ugly shorts," or whatever the hell you said at the time. But
I did say that,
you
didn't
did. You
I?
rude to me. I thought he hated me, to be honest. But
What? Oh my God, jeez.
Anyway,
yeah, I feel prepared and unprepared all at the same time. But I know that working with him, that's one of the best things, is he'll never let me fail. So
I will say
I'm
this,
ready.
one of the things I know that she got ecstatic about and that I leaned on her with about is that I knew that I just didn't want to do a sequel. And what I wanted to do was shoot all of the episodes that I had originally written, expound on them. And it's going to end up being five 1 hour length projects. And that's because at the time, Netflix, Amazon Prime, they had reached out and talked to us, and Orchard had talked to us. And so we know that that platform is there. I think it's a platform now that is respected, especially, you see Martin Scorsese and all these people coming out because it can
Sure.
be treated just like at the time, the only place that I was ever interested would have been HBO, 10 years ago, because I felt like everything else was just not that interesting to me.
Right.
But now you can do really good content and have multiple platforms to put it out on that people will watch and binge and talk about the way I used to talk about when Star Wars came out. Now they talk about when a kick-ass series comes out and you can binge it and watch it. And while I don't want to say it's a series because it is the ending of it would allow more episodes to do. I would say more it's a what they call, a limited
A limited
movie.
series.
So yeah,
Yeah.
right, exactly. And I'm ecstatic about it because it gets to open up the world. It gets to put in all the characters that I wanted. Now, at the same time, being independent, I do all the writing, I do all the filming, I do all the editing, I do all the color grading, I do all the sound, you do the music, I do all the theme music. It's a huge event. I originally thought I'd be able to keep my home flipping business going on the side to pay the monthly bills and then do this. And now we've realized that over the next 45 to 60 days, we're going to have to set ourselves up to where this is all we do over the next 6 to 9 months. Like, solely, this is it. And
Should we
part of it.
send you food? Should we send you guys food and
Send
shit?
ramen!
No, I ironically, I mean, it's probably where I am crazy. It's doable. I enjoy it. But it what I will say that over the last 2 months, I learned a lesson going, you can't do both. You're either in this or you're not. And because it's just too hard to switch from going, I've got to put in a sidewalk on a flip house we have, And then that night go, okay, now I'm going to enter this world and I got to build the inside of a spaceship over here. And I've got to schedule these three actors to
especially
be in on this weekend.
Both things are so physically and mentally exhausting.
Okay. Yeah.
That trying to do both would just be impossible. Like, I don't know how you would even have that energy.
But we're slamming it. I mean, we've got the creatures being built, our special effects guy, which we have the same guy, Matt Crabtree, and he's doing a fantastic job because he's had months to be working on it to come up with it. And
I'm really excited about it from an actor's standpoint, because other than theater, which I did a little bit in high school and like right after high school, it's the first time that I'll ever get a chance to sit with a character and really like show that much of a single character. Because normally in a movie you have an hour and a half, 2 hours, and so many scenes, but as a limited series type of thing, you get like a full-fledged story of this person. And so as an actor, the range and like all the emotions and different things that I'm gonna get to play with and show and be challenged by, I'm scared, but I know that means that's good. Like, if I'm not scared, then it's probably not worth my time. So I'm really, really excited. I think it's gonna be a huge challenge, but it's gonna be fun and like new for sure.
Awesome.
It's going to be good, and I realized that one of the reasons that we kept turning down the offers, and, you know, most people, the way movies are made, you know, it's pretty much even independent filmmakers know how movies are made. You sit down, you come up with the concept, you write the script, you schedule out the script, you have it, blah, 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 and you go on down the road. But what's interesting about doing it independently, in my opinion, is I go, okay, so here's the deal. You have to hold auditions, and you have to find people that can play a certain part.
Right.
But what I love about being independent, because since we're not a big Hollywood movie and we can't have auditions and go, I want Meryl Streep to play this. I've always envisioned Meryl Streep playing this. Well, of course we don't have that luxury. But what I do have the luxury of doing is going, hey, this person came in and I had written this character this way, but I like the way this person does this. I can change it. And I think what still is important when I wrote all of this is I write the outline. I know the beginning, the ending. I know the traits of the character. I know how each character talks, which I even have the option of changing that. If somebody comes in and I think they'd be great at a certain character, but they talk with a Southern drawl, I can scrap what I did so that it comes across better.
Yeah, I can imagine somebody like, I'm not saying him, but imagine somebody like Christopher Walken comes in talking like that. Like, all of a sudden you're like, well, maybe we can make an exception because this is insane.
And I don't have to go
we
to
need that. Like, what is this?
To whereas, you know, a Hollywood movie, you write the script and you find the actor that can fit the part. And it's almost what I love about doing it this way is I can change. I have the freedom and I have left it open enough to change certain plot points. I can change certain ideas that I have as long as I know the beginning and the end and why certain things happen and where I want to end up. But I think that scares the living hell out of producers from Hollywood and how they do it. And rightly so, you know, if they're going to invest $20 million in a project, they all want their 2 cents. They want to make sure that, okay, this is done and this and this. And we don't have that, which actually I think is great. I think that... I mean, if you're independent, you're independent. I don't know how we got stuck into all of a sudden going, you know, oh, I got to buy this scheduling program because that's how they do it in Hollywood. And I go, okay, well, my scheduling program isn't going to work like that because my actor can't show up because his daughter has graduation on that night. So, and that's a real thing. Like, you know, and I'm not paying them $10,000 to be here.
Yeah.
So, okay, so I gotta maybe I can kill them off earlier, and I can have what needed to happen to some other character on down the road.
We'll just whack them, get them out of here.
And that's one of the ways.
Very Jersey of you, Oak.
Very.
Well, that's one of the ways that I got the first one done, if you remember, because there was somebody that showed up that I really loved his acting ability, but he didn't tell us he was claustrophobic. Because he wanted to be in the movie.
Mm.
Wow.
He had a full-on panic attack.
10 minutes into it, he was having a panic. And I was like, guy, I love you, but this is going to have to be your end scene. Like, we're never going to make it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he had to die early. And everything that character needed to portray to help the plot, I had to instill in another character going down the road. So thankfully,
the other character guy was very happy because his small part all of a sudden.
Yeah. Oh, he was ecstatic.
A very large part. So
yeah.
It worked out for him. But
that's the chaotic part of being independent. And but actually a part that I excel in. I mean, I do believe that that's one of my better traits of being able to figure that out.
Yeah.
Being able to go that special effect isn't going to work. Maybe if we had 2 more weeks and $10,000 more, or use your creative brain. Let's figure out what will work while we're all here.
And also, luckily, being that we work together in life and everything too, it helps that our schedules align always, so we can always lean on each other to be and do scenes that need to be done.
And I've learned you're always right.
Well, of course.
So that makes things.
Is that
go
even a question?
That goes very, very, very smoothly. Whatever you say is correct.
Smart man.
That's right.
But just out of curiosity, because you have such a following, and it's an international one. I mean, I've seen the fan art. I've seen people getting tank tattoos and everything.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, why? Yeah. How come you didn't venture into some sort of crowdfunding? I mean, you still can, and you still might. But...
Well, there's two things on that. Number one, I kind of, this isn't putting down anybody that wants to do that. If they can make Kickstarter work or GoFundMe and all that, I think there's a place for it. I'm glad it's there.
Agreed.
I just wanted to do it on our own, and I wanted our fans to be able to help us and be a part of us, and they do help us. Here's how our fans helped us. They retweeted, they commented, they blew up social media anytime we put something out, out, and that got the attention that got us the deal. I didn't need them to give us the money.
Okay,
now,
fair enough.
What I also went, we can use help, especially now that I'm going to stop the other business and just do this. But we figured out a way, that's your Twitch thing, you should talk about that. We figured out a way that they can help us without a dime coming out of their pocket.
Yeah, so I feel like I started this Twitch channel, and I feel like at the present moment, it has our fans a little bit confused because mostly I'm playing games on it right now. But we are going to be heavily integrating it into the movie once we start filming, and once actual production starts, we're going to be showing a lot of, we'll go live, showing a lot of behind the scenes, we'll go live with the cast and say hello to everybody, and it's going to become very heavily influenced by the movie. So, but the cool thing is, if you have Amazon Prime, you have Twitch Prime, it's one and the same, and all you have to do is link your Amazon into your Twitch. You sign up for Twitch, you just log in with Facebook, it takes like 2 seconds.
Yeah, it does.
You your Amazon and your Twitch, and you can subscribe to us once a month, and we get $2.50 per subscription. $2.50.
Right.
For free. And it doesn't cost you any. If you have Amazon Prime, it doesn't cost you anything. And so that's going to be a huge way that the fans can support us. And also, this on that Twitch site, if they don't have Amazon Prime, you can subscribe by paying, it's like $5 a month.
Right.
Or you can donate money, however, whatever amount, whatever. And it's a way that they can do it that feels like we'll be giving back immediately. Whereas I feel like, for me personally, in the campaigns, it always feels very like, yeah, give us the money and then you'll see something in like 4 years or something, whenever our movie's coming out. So this felt more comfortable for me, just it feels more immediate. Like, if you subscribe to this channel, every time we're live, you get to come on, we'll talk to you, there's chat, and, you know, we'll do giveaways at some point, I'm sure, of the movie and all that kind of stuff, so.
It's just this weird thing. We know now that we have a product, even based off of the numbers that our first movie did. We could go out right now and sell it to the distributors that had the first one. So we know we can get some money back. Here's what I feel bad about, and how, because we thought about it, but I was like, I can't do Kickstarter for this reason. I can't go to fans and go, please give us money, please, please give us money, please give us money, and they do, and they help us make the movie, and then I go out and I sell it and I make some money, and they
right.
Now, the argument is they get to see the movie and they want to support us, so it's like this edge thing. I went, here'd be the perfect thing if I can find somebody who actually wants to invest some money in it, and it's a large enough amount of money that I can actually give him a percentage of the movie, so that when we sell it, He makes some money.
Right.
We make some money. And then our fans, hey, if you have an extra $5 and you want to buy our t-shirt, great. That does two things for us. That means you're going to get to see the movie, because I'd never sell any perk without them getting access to seeing the movie. Because I feel like you're buying our art. Great. Artist, I need that money. But you're also out there promoting us, you know, and helping us. You're wearing a t-shirt, or you have the coffee mug, or you're on social media. And that is almost more valuable, because the more fans we get, the more I get to go to the money guys, the distributors, and say, I've got 100,000 people right now that are backing me.
Right.
And that gets us a larger, you know, a larger number, and lets us make more product. So I felt good about it. I felt good about the way it is right now. The man who is helping us, he's going to end up making good money. Plus, he's going to have a great time. And though I'm very tribal. I know that I like to work with the same people on every single project. And so far, and I went, if this goes smooth, I'm telling you right now, you're who I'm going to want as a right-hand man moving on to other projects. And then I go, if we want to make a special edition of the very first movie I ever, ever made that Nikki's in, that nobody's ever seen, that I made in Austin, and the director's cut, and maybe a special tank bobblehead, and they want to spend 19 bucks for it, I would be ecstatic for our fans to buy that for 19 bucks, because yeah. I feel like I'm giving them something, instead of me just sitting here going, okay, I just collected $30,000 from all these Kickstarter fans, and we'll see you in about 3 years. And, you know, it just doesn't make me feel good. I feel good about doing it this way.
Yeah, I do too.
That's
I
cool.
I feel like it'll also be a way that they can engage with us a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
We initially did the first Crawler Die. We did do fundraising, and one of the most popular things about that we did was we were live. Right. A lot. I feel like when we were towards the end of the campaign, we stayed live for like 24 hours straight, or maybe even longer. It was like 2 days, and I was even like, you can watch us sleep, whatever. Like, and so we're not gonna be that intense about it, but we will definitely be live a lot, and they can engage right there as it's happening with us. And I'm excited by that. I think that will be really fun for them too. So,
nice. But I am excited. I'll throw out, you know, some little teasers about what we're doing, because I'm excited about it. I'm just going to say that there's going to be live tarantulas. There's going to be water this time. there's going to be a spaceship. There's going to be actually space pods that we're actually going to be putting in the air and bringing down to the ground out in the middle of nowhere. We've got trees blowing up this time for real, because we like to stick with practical effects. The monster has metamorphosed. Is that the word?
Yeah, that's cool.
Is it a word?
I'm
gonna say that's an.
It should
word.
Be. It should be a word.
Oh, it's
has transformed.
It's metamorphized.
No, yeah. I don't think
no. Just... I like metamorphized.
Okay. That's your next film franchise.
Yeah, and there's a whole crew of new people that I think at the end of this one people are going to be shocked. But it's only because this girl's going to move on to do a bunch of other stuff. But it's going to be exciting. We're going to love
it. Nice. Tarantulas in space. Wow.
Yeah.
I saw the look on your face, Nikki.
I'm doing the tarantulas, all right? I'll do anything else. Not those freaking hairy.
We might have to do a stunt double. We'll see.
Might.
Or give you a whole bunch of shots at tequila, one or the other.
Well, that's true.
Tequila works. No.
Yeah.
I think that was the beauty of one of the excellent elements of the first film, Nikki, was the look on your face as Tank. And I'm like, holy shit, she's really going through hell. And that's what induced the panic attack, because I really felt your pain.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, I mean, we're recording this on February 28th, the very end of Women in Horror Month. And one of the things that I loved the most about the character Tank was she wasn't afraid to be afraid. And
Agreed.
The cool thing was she worked through the fear. She wasn't some like hot shot, oh, I got this shit, you know. She was like,
right.
Like you said before, she's a person. And
right.
She was in a situation where, you know, it was fight or flight. And then for a major part of it was flight. And the only way to survive was to like just keep going when you really wanted to give up. That was beautiful. A true hero.
And it was this interesting thing too, because it was flight, but it was like fight as you're flighting. Like it was like you're either gonna just stay here and die and be eaten or struggle through it. But yeah, it was intense filming it for sure.
And maybe 15 years from now I'll be doing some Sci-Fi Channel green screen room thing, but I can
tell
you,
Tarantula's in space. He just came up with it for you.
Exactly.
I can tell you. Yeah, that I could probably get that funded tomorrow and be making that with a huge budget.
Goddamn tarantulas on this goddamn spaceship.
but I will say this, and it is a fascinating thing when you know, as all artists, we think about ourselves all the time. I am fascinated about this, and I actually think it helps, especially when you're independent and you're using actors that maybe have never been in a project before.
Right.
But I literally build the set. Like, if I build a spaceship, they're walking
backyard.
In a spaceship. Yeah, right. Like, and I think that helps them. Those tunnels were real. Like,
we've
when those
gone
actors...
to space. We're fucking going to space, right?
That's God right. Damn it. Now, that part I can't do. But I can do... Those tunnels were real. There's going to be water in those tunnels. So we're going to get the reactions of the people going through that. Now, I will have doctors and EMSA all there, but to me, it just lends that same thing, that terrific performance that she did. Believe me, the atmosphere helped.
For sure. There were some scenes, I mean, other than staying in character as who I was playing, it wasn't really acting in some of it because it was
Well, you did get stuck in the
through.
One tunnel.
I got stuck in the one tunnel, in the dirt tunnel. There was real, not tarantulas, scorpions.
Yeah,
like,
we did have live scorpions.
So, and the grass in that tunnel was dead, so it was like needles and just filming over and over in that scene. It was like scratching and I had like, you know, red scars and stuff. So, you know, yes, it was a performance, but at times it was greatly helped by the fact that it was actually happening. So there wasn't a lot that I had to do in terms of like reacting to something. So
very visceral.
Yes. And ironically, in this next one, he's talking about tarantulas, which I hate, spiders, and water, which I actually am a little bit afraid of water. So there's going to be scenes where I am... In the first one, I'm not claustrophobic, so that was never really a problem for me, other than when I got stuck, and that was more so like, this is going to be pain because they're going to cut me out and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But the water like makes me really nervous, and I'm going to do it, but...
Well, I'll give you one last little tidbit because I love you and your channel and everything that you put out there so much. I'll give you a perfect example of why I love being independent and one of the reasons I'm so turned on to do this. And believe me, I watched producers' heads when I was talking and saying this out loud, just literally explode. Just picture, and it might be the whole hour, maybe not, but just picture a whole first episode that there's not a single word spoken till the one word at the very end of that episode. And I went, it works so perfect. It's so badass.
I love
it. And yeah, I do too. But you want to talk about watching literally hair get caught on fire of people that didn't even have hair on their head. And they were like, you can't do it. And I was like, well, yeah. I was like, what do you mean? It's awesome. What are you talking about?
Do whatever I want.
I was
to
like,
do.
You just have this beat in this song, it just keeps progressing and just keeps going and going and going all the way. And they were like, "What are you with the whole episode?" And I'm like, "Well, you know, maybe not the whole episode, but maybe so." But that's the type of thing that we're going to be doing, like stuff that I just think is awesome and powerful and independent and different.
Yeah.
But still respecting, I still do respect my audience. I like to give them, I like them to take them on a thrill ride. I like them to feel energized. I want them to tear up once or twice. I want them to really be invested and really want certain people to make it and feel bad if they don't and feel good at the end when they walk away and go, yeah, I'm ready to take on the world again.
Yeah.
That's
awesome.
That's kind of what I like to do and want to do.
Yeah.
Well, you know, reminded me of something because you brought it up like a second ago. Nikki, you and it was funny because I was talking to, you know, my co-host Johnny Numb after he saw Crawler Die. We're watching it and the end credits come on. There's kick-ass song and beautiful vocals. And then I find out you're welcome. And then I find out it's Nikki singing. And I'm like, what the fuck? That's amazing. Like... So is there going to be like a Tank album? Like, what's going on? Is that coming out too? What do you got going
There
on?
is, yes, there is going to be an album that's going to coincide with the movie.
Nice.
I don't know how many songs yet because I don't know
I'm pretty
what he's
sure
got
the
in
person that's
mind,
helping
but
fund it, he's already said that, you know, if
I
we,
get like, okay.
I think he'll help us make sure that happens.
Yeah, I'm definitely doing the music no matter what. So even if we end up having to do it on our own, we'll figure out how to do it.
Well,
But
that is one of the things that I think that I'll be fine about pre-selling. You know, I think that is something that if we took to either, I think the person that's helping us financially, I think if we, you know, brought him, there are 9,000 people right now that are willing to pre-buy it for this amount of money. If not,
count me in.
it'll, well, it, I think it would be like one or two songs, but I'm pretty sure that I had originally wanted an original song for every episode, and I think that's something that you could easily
Yeah.
do and you have the
I
talent to
mean,
do.
I would be ecstatic at the challenge. I get shy talking about my music because I'm not really. I love doing music. I love writing lyrics. I love to sing. I love all that, but I'm not someone who would ever want to be in. Like, I can't. He, when I like record, he has to leave the room. They have to turn the lights off. Like, I don't want anybody in there. I don't want to be looking at me. I just get nervous. So I get weird talking about it, not because I'm not proud of my music, just because I'm like, I'm not trying to be like
Oh.
Madonna or something. Like I find it very, it's a fun challenge. So if we do an album and get to do a bunch of songs, I'm looking forward to like writing for each scene and the mood and whatever it needs to be. So it should be cool. It should be cool.
And look, I'm glad that you brought that up because I am the cheerleader behind her, even on her Twitch stream. I'm all the time, like between when she's gaming and all, and she'll have, you know, 20, 30 people viewing her, and I'm like, put your music teaser video up there between. She's like, no, they don't want to hear. I'm like, let them hear.
Oh,
And
God.
every time she does it, they love it.
Of
They're like, oh my
course they
God,
do.
this is a real song. But you know, you literally have to beat her over the head all the time, all the
But it's
time.
like, you know, you've heard actors talk about this too, where they don't watch their own movies. Like, it's painful. Like, you don't, I don't mind as an actor watching my movies. That's different. But that's how I feel about my music. Like, I'm proud of it. I love it. I'm glad that I made it. And I want people to like it. But to sit there and be like subjected to listening to it with other people listening with me, it's just painful. I'm like, no, you can listen on your own time. Like,
Your humility is awesome,
thank you.
but you are very talented and
Yeah,
it's
thank you.
appreciated.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, guys, I guess we're getting to that time, so I'm going to give you my
Yeah.
famous last question because it's been about 4 years or more since you've been
Oh.
on. So, what has it, because you've done so many interviews, you've had all these wild experiences, what hasn't been asked of you that you wish had been so you could answer it? What do you want to tell people? Like, this is your chance to say something even beyond the Crawl or Die franchise.
I would say this, and I have said it a lot, but I have yet to learn in life how to relay to there's so much content and life and bills and relationships and ups and downs that how much it means to any type of artist or anybody that's doing something out of the norm, that how much it truly means to have people retweeting, sharing, and supporting you in whatever form it is, but that take time out of their lives and help prop up what you're trying to do. While I will make the argument to anybody in the world that art is just as important as any doctor or lawyer, and that's not putting them down. That's actually, I think it is all just as important.
Agreed.
It's hard to go, what you're doing out there when you retweet or you comment or you tell three or four people about somebody who's making something out here for $100 and putting out there that you think is good, means the absolute world, and it helps so much. And it just, nothing that you can ever say or do can express to somebody, because they probably go, well, it's just a retweet. And I'm like, man, that retweet can, it's the difference between getting to support to be able to get your project out in the world and maybe getting to do it again. != And it is that important, and yet.
And I think a lot of times people don't realize, like what you're saying, they feel like, well, I don't have any money or I can't financially help out in any way. But honestly, sharing and telling other people word of mouth and reposting on your Facebook page is just as impactful and helpful as if you were to buy our DVD. And sometimes even more, because one sale of a DVD, if you never tell anyone about it, yes, mm-hmm. it's helpful to us. But then if you turn around and tell all your 10 friends and then they tell their 10 friends, it's almost more impactful. Like, it's crazy.
It's humbling, but it's also needed. And it's everything. All products, Hollywood, not spend millions and millions of dollars to get people to interact or share or talk about what they're trying to sell. And when you're an independent artist out there putting something out, you don't have that. So it is shocking and humbling. And believe me, we still to this day go through all, we people were drawn, one person did put a tattoo of Tank on yep. their body. Like, that stuff that. Just blows us away and makes us feel so good. And I go, there's no way we're ever going to be able to let those people know just how vital that is.
Yeah. Agreed.
I think that would be the one thing, because most interviewers don't care about that. you know, they want to hear the other stuff. But it is. And we're going to be we've saved every email address. We've got a mailing list of over 10,000 people. We're going to be
wow.
The minute we start on this push, we're going to be leaning on those people again and asking them. And it's humbling, and you don't want to do it. But then you see their excitement when they start doing it. And it kind of makes you feel good.
Well, yeah. You know, to be honest, we've, you know, because I'm a fan, we've been waiting a long time. And we know it's been a difficult journey. We know you flipped for film, you know, and I, you know, a lot of us knew this was going to take a while. So we're, you know, I'm ecstatic yeah. that it's coming to fruition.
Man, we are too. I mean, we're going live this Saturday. Yeah. I mean, this Saturday, we're going to have the camera down there while we start filming the creature. I haven't been able to sleep for nights, just lying there going, oh, my God.
See, we handle stress so different. He's wide awake the whole night.
Yeah.
I'm like, I will go to sleep. I'm like, if I'm not doing something, I'm like, I need to go to sleep because I don't want to think about it. And I just lay there and yeah. stress out. So we're the opposite. I'll wake up and he's all wide-eyed and I'm like, what's going on? But we're about to start. So that'll all be, I feel like that'll be alleviated with the start of this, because we'll finally get to put all that energy somewhere.
Yeah, because we went mm-hmm. through, there was like people like Bill Moseley, Derek, like we had all these actors that congratulated us, and I found all those on the Twitter feed.
Dude, the guy from, this one blew my mind. I was like, he heard about our movie, that guy from Devil's Rejects?
Yeah, I know.
I was like, what? Yeah,
so,
that's pretty cool.
You know, it's, we're ecstatic.
And I'm thrilled for you. I mean, this is awesome.
It's going to be a blast. It's going to be fun. Excellent. And it all starts this Saturday.
Yep.
All right. And where can people tell us where we could find you on Twitch, Nikki, where we could find things about Crawl or Die, all of it, the whole nine yards. Give it to us.
Okay. So I think the easiest place to go would be crawlordietrilogy.com, and we will have everything linked from that site. And that way, I don't have to give out 20 different sites that you have to try to remember. So just crawlordietrilogy.com, and all the links will be on the first page. We'll have the live video, either a link to it, or I haven't figured out yet if we're going to have it on that page or a link. But either way, the video and then all the links to all of our sites will be right there underneath. So
yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And, well, ladies and gentlemen, you can find this show, The Last Knock, on Spotify, iTunes, and at CrashPalaceProductions.com. And take a look at just what I would do is go and search and put in Crawl, or actually Crawl or Die. No, we didn't do an article on Crawl. We just ripped it apart on our on one of the podcasts. But Crawl or Die. Put in Crawl or Die or Tank, and Nikki and Oklahoma and all her good stuff will pop up. Unfortunately, the original podcasts are, they're not lost, but they're not connected. That's a whole story that nobody needs to know about. I'll tell you guys in a minute what happened. But
Okay.
you could catch some of the more recent stuff. So thank you both for coming on, taking time out of your busy schedules, because I know you have
Absolutely.
an
Thank
adventure
you
ahead of
for
you.
having us. Seriously, we really
We love
appreciate
you,
it.
man.
Love you too. Anytime, anytime. Come on.
Our goal is we'd love to get you out here for a couple days. We'd like to put you in like a little cameo and have you out here. We're trying to work all that out. So you're probably going to be getting a call. I'm just letting you know. I'm just saying.
Get
I'm
ready.
just letting you know.
Nikki, thank you. Nikki has a fear of spiders and stuff. I have a fear of flying, but for
You
you
drive.
two, I will. I'll either get on a plane, take a train, drive, walk. I might crawl.
That'd be
I might crawl.
fine. There you go.
But thank you. I'm there, man. Let me know and I'm
All
there.
right.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Well,
Love you
thanks for having
guys.
us on. Thank
Oh,
you.
thank you. Bye.